This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Not snow. Not sleep, not early mornings, nothing really can stand in the way of us doing the show today. I can't tell you how many tweets I received. Are you doing the show even though it's a holiday for Dr. Martin Luther King? Even though today is a holiday, we need to sit and stand back and observe and realize what this brilliant, brave, great man contributed and did in his way too short life. Will you be doing the show today? And I responded, even if we weren't going to be doing the show today, we're doing the show today. January 17th, 2022. I say good morning to Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. How am I? That's a great question. What a weekend. What a weekend.
What a weekend is right now. I think we'll touch on the Cowboys at some point.
Some point.
During the course of the show. I would tend to imagine that would probably come up, yes?
I think we'll dabble.
We'll dabble. Dip our toe into the water of the Dallas Cowboys. But before we do that, can we spend a moment on what we've now done? And again, I'm not celebrating victory by any stretch. But do you remember early in the season when you were so beside yourself? And the K-Show and Peter Rosenberg was mocking us. Do these guys even know football? Do they even watch football? I believe they had a five-game lead against us in our show battle picks. Is that correct?
I believe they had a five-game lead. That's correct, yep.
Five-game lead. Where does that lead stand now?
There is no lead, David.
Oh, there's no lead?
No, there's no lead. There is no lead.
Really? So yeah. Might you think of the last nine selections we've made, we've gone, what would you say would be good? 6-3, that'd be good, right?
6-3 would be great. No, especially with the injuries, the COVID and everything. 6-3 would be, I mean, you're doing work at 6-3.
I mean, 6-3, you go to Vegas at 6-3.
Oh.
But we're not 6-3.
That's R.J. Bell territory.
I mean, no, we're not.
That's R.J. Bell picking loving Jacksonville 2 weeks ago against the Colts. That's what
that
is.
And you know who he loved this week? He loved the Niners this week.
Everyone loved the Niners this week.
So, but let's not bury the lead here. We're not 6-3 in the last nine. We're not 7-2. You would also would say, well, my goodness, 7-2. That would be picking games, baby, right?
Oh yeah, I mean 7-2. Forget it. I mean now you're considering professional gambling.
You're like Ace Rothstein. They make a movie about your life called Casino 2 if you're 7-2 in your last nine games. But we look at 7-2 and we don't want 7-2. In our last nine selections, Rick, 8-1. 8-1.
This is what the greats do, though, David. This is what they do. And by greats, I mean you. It's going to take us a second. It's a new year, right? I mean, we spend all this time and energy doing win-loss, trying to, you know, forecast what these teams are going to be. I mean, there are some of us on the show that have their own podcast network that decide they want to pick the Giants to win the NFC East. But we really don't know. You don't know until we get some real football. We get a chance. Forget the preseason. That's garbage. Until we're in week one, we get a chance to watch it, and now we assess, you know, what's this team? What's this team? How's this team going to perform? You really – and then you have me getting into the psyche of the athlete. It's going to take us a minute. I mean, you win the first couple of weeks. That's luck. You know what that
it's
is?
Child's
that's
play, really.
Child's play.
It's like flipping a coin. What is it that R.J. Bell says? Even a drunk baby can flip a coin correctly 50% of the time?
Yeah. So, and this is what happens is now you get into, you know, the real meat of the season. It's winning time. And then this is when all that extra work kicks in, Dave. All that extra time. All that time we spend every week, you shunning your kids' games to focus on this and this only. Winning the pick segment for the show. That's all that matters right now.
That's all that matters. In the last 9 weeks, we are 8-1.
Oh.
8-1. We were the Giants. We were the laughing stock of the betting community to start out this football season. But no longer. We are the Jeffersons. We are moving on up. We are a penthouse view of New York City. We are now tied with the K Show. Tied. They laughed at us. And that's what makes it all that much sweeter. At least for me. They laughed at us.
They mocked us.
They said, do these guys watch football? They're a joke. I mean, Peter, with his little, you know, zings from his ivory tower of how we were an embarrassment and a joke. And you know what? He probably wasn't wrong. Well, you know what? The joke is now tied with the other show. Welcome aboard, baby. Welcome aboard.
Now, here's...
And welcome aboard.
I'm glad you led the show with this. So, I leave the ice on Friday. So, Milo has practice. I leave the ice. I go into the pro shop to use the landline because I'm respectful of the K Show. So, I don't want to have a bad cell phone connection. So, I call... And we're going back and forth. And I know we're taking Kansas City. And now we have the pick because we had the last week right.
You know what I love about the pick, by the way? And I'll let you tell your story in a second. I adore this. There's such conviction with us. You text me, what game are we going with? My response, Kansas City. Like, there's no, are you sure? Do you like? Do you want to go with? There's none of that now, Rick. It's we are a synced up machine. We're like the Terminator is what we're like.
We're simpatico is what we are. And so... So anyway, so I say we're going to take, you know, Kansas City, and we feel good about it. So now they're going back and forth because they really don't know what they're going to pick. And they mentioned that they like the Patriots. Now, on Friday after we had the, you know, the beautiful crosstalk that we do where it's, there's roaming and there's just there's so much going on, so much free space.
It's like a free-range zoo.
It's just, could you imagine the eggs that crosstalk would lay with how free-range that is?
Organic oh, my eggs. God. Yeah, beautiful. I totally see it.
Beautiful. So RJ says to me, because I asked him, I said, you know, RJ, if you could pick one of these games, what do you like? Now, we all know RJ, the great RJ Santillo, who does amazing reads, is from Rochester. So you would think, I mean, naturally, he'd be a Buffalo Bills fan. He's not. He loves the Niners, but he knows the Bills, right? He says, I got to tell you, Rick, I love the Bills. They're going to destroy the Patriots. I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I go on the K-Show. I say Kansas City. Now they're going back and forth. Do we like the Patriots? Or do we like the Cowboys? And I'm like, oh, my God, if they pick the Cowboys, this is like the best thing that ever happened to Dave because now we can root even harder against the Cowboys.
That's right.
But then I'm thinking to myself, why even have the suspense? If they decide they want to take the Patriots, RJ just told me he loves the Bills. I almost switched our pick to the Bills if they took the Patriots.
Oh.
Which would have been great because that would have been head-to-head. We would have destroyed them. But... I'm watching that Bills game going, oh, my God, what did I do? Why did I do that? RJ said he loved the Bills. Why didn't I change it? And then the way that game starts last night, I'm like, oh, my God, I screwed this up. I completely screwed this up.
No, first of all, it wouldn't have been you. It would have been equally, if not more, me. And you need to relax. You need to take your foot off the gas and really navigate through the wild.
I want it so bad, though, Dave. I can't. That was yesterday, and I don't know why I get myself so emotionally involved with this pick segment, was the two times... That I've never, outside of my own teams, like I had to excuse myself twice yesterday because I got so mad that Cassie's like, what are you, like you can't, like watch your mouth in front of the kids. I was that upset.
Oh, listen, I've done that. My kids have known curse words since they could talk.
It was that stupid Jimmy Garoppolo interception that was ridiculous. Awful.
Well, how about when he missed Brandon Ayuk, who was
wide open.
Oh. Who he scorched the great Diggs again yesterday in that game.
So it was that. And then last night when they decided, I mean, you got Pat Mahomes as your quarterback. Now I guess that was what you know what pissed the offense off to get their you know butts in gear. But they're running the wildcat trick play, and TJ Watt, it's a fumble, scoop and score. I'm like, what are we doing right now? The only way Pittsburgh's going to score points is if you let their defense score points. What are we doing?
Come on, by halftime you were like, oh, this game's in the bag.
I was
in the bag.
But you got to remember though. Like, RJ, in my head, all I could think was, RJ told me the Bills. He loved the Bills.
And he was right about the Bills. That's the performance of the weekend. They were phenomenal. But Kansas City, once they fell behind 7-0, they tied the game like minutes
instantly,
later.
Yep.
Then they score again. Even by halftime, we were covering that game.
Oh, yeah. But I just I'm thinking to myself, how much less stress? Of course, we picked a late Sunday game. Buffalo, the other team, destroys the Patriots. We could have just hung out on Sunday. and rooted for the Niners.
Just hung that on Sunday. So what time did you go to bed last night? Halftime?
I shut it down at halftime, yeah.
And you felt good, though, right?
I felt good at halftime, but initially I was like, what is going on right now?
Well, I think everybody was. All right, we have a lot to do today. Today is one of those shows that it's like, oh, yes. Good morning. Cowboys, we'll get there. Oh. All the games, we'll get to all of them. The Knicks with a really good win down in Atlanta. They're back in action today, 12:30 here on 98.7 ESPN. Our picks, we are 8-1 in our last nine. We've now tied the K show. But I think we start. Where do we start?
Would you rather be a Patriots fan right now or a Dallas Cowboys fan right now?
Patriots.
Oh, easy. It's not even a question.
It's not even close. If there's one team that embarrassed themselves the most this weekend, and I'm not saying it because I don't like them, because I think there's two sides to me. I think there's a side that will take great enjoyment in what happened yesterday with the Cowboys, and I think that's the biased side. Come on, we know what he's going to do. And I think there's the side of me that's like, you know what? Now you get my honest assessment. My honest assessment is it's not close. If there's one team you say right now was the most disappointing, I mean, Santiago said anything less than an NFC championship game appearance is a failure. Mike Tannenbaum wagered on our airwaves. He's got to now send me a beautiful Starbucks gift card that this team was going to go to the Super Bowl. They were home. They won the division. They were favorite. The Bills were great. Say what you want. Buffalo played, you could argue, the perfect football game.
They pitched the perfect game as well.
Right? It was the first time you ever had a perfect rating for a team on offense ever in the history of football. They scored a touchdown on every single drive until they took a knee. I don't even think San Francisco played very well, to be honest with you. I thought San Francisco did everything in their power to give that game away yesterday.
No, I disagree. I think they played well. They didn't capitalize. That game shouldn't have been as cool. Like, they let Dallas hang around in that game.
They played well until they didn't. When they once he missed Ayuk, and then he got picked off, and then the way they're jumping off sides and Trent Williams, and they're not set, and then they let Dallas come down the field on these little plays, and they're getting out of bounds, and they get down to the 40. Like, there was a time in that game where San Francisco played well. And then it completely, in my opinion, fell apart on that miss to Ayuk on the left side when he was wide open.
No, late in the game, I don't disagree. I meant early on in that game, it should not have been as close as it was early in that game. Like, they had a chance.
Well, they're kicking field goals, right? They're driving all the way down the field and they're kicking field goals.
In the grand scheme of things, you take the points, but still. I mean, you had with what you've seen around the NFL, how aggressive a lot of these coaches are, like, you had a chance to put your foot on Dallas's throat, and you didn't. You let them hang around, and then they found a way to at least make it interesting to the point where, I mean, I sent you guys that picture. There's the girl in the stands.
What is the matter
crying
with that woman, though, Bob? Now, being serious, like, I've never seen someone weeping. Like, remember there was the kid in the Northwestern game years ago?
Yes.
He wept when the game was over. Well, like, he understood, now the game is over, let me weep. This woman, I think there was 4 minutes left in a one-possession game, and the Cowboys had three timeouts, and she's hysterically crying.
Oh, but she knew, though. She's a Cowboys fan. She knew. She knew exactly what was going to happen. They were gonna rip your heart right out of your chest and make you look at it. That's what Dallas does. I mean, poor Santiago. Hey, Raymond, how come you weren't on the Zoom this morning?
You really want to know?
Yeah, yes. We really want to know.
I had a fit of Rothenberg rage at the end of that game. Phone got spiked.
You took your phone and you smashed it into the earth. Is that what happened?
It was a situation where the 3 hours of anger and frustration of that game caught up to me, and the previous 6 months of frustration probably caught up to me. I'll need to get the screen replaced this afternoon.
Oh, Raymond.
Can't we just get a new phone? Come on, let's just
no,
get,
you know what?
Let's just get
no, yourself
iPhone.
An iPhone.
No,
get
it's not happening.
Come on.
No, listen, today's not the day to try and argue with me about something. I'm going to tell you right now. Today is not the day.
I'm trying to help you.
No, you're not helping me. You're helping yourself.
How upset are you, Ray?
That I am as angry about a football game as I've ever been as an adult.
Who tried to tell you all year? All year as you're skipping around and looking at the Cowboys and
Dave,
Dak Prescott.
Dave,
who? Yeah.
Dave, did,
yeah.
Did I ever say that this team was going to the Super Bowl? At any point did I ever say that?
Did you ever say this is a terrific team and we are going to the NFC Championship game?
I never said that even.
Did you ever utter the words, Green Bay, I'm not afraid of them. And I want the Packers.
And I wasn't afraid of Green Bay. I still wouldn't have been afraid of Green Bay. Well, actually, no. If they had won this game, they probably would have gotten smacked in Tampa anyway. But in all honesty, no. I wasn't afraid of Green Bay heading into it. No.
You should have been afraid of everybody, Ray. Your team's frauds. We're frauds.
I will tell you 100% the Dallas Cowboys are frauds. But the NFL is full of flawed teams. Any team could be beaten on any given Sunday, but in all situations where, like that one, where Dallas is outmatched on the opposite sideline year after year after year, they show you that they are frauds, and I promise I will not fall for it again with this team.
Oh, here we go. This guy's phoneless. I mean, God forbid something happens in his life where it needs immediate attention now. He doesn't even have a phone.
I think this is a perfect opportunity. This is like when you fire your GM. And you decide whether or not to keep Joe Judge. Like, no, this is the time. We're looking for a GM. Let's just clean house.
Get the iPhone.
Don't fix the screen. No. This is the time, Raymond.
No.
Don't be that guy that screws up the chat.
Boot me from the chat then. I don't care.
This is going to be a great day. And RJ's just going to sit back and just consume it. Like the miser that he is. Oh, it's so good. Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard.
The last thing I'm going to do is have the fan of the team that ran a quarterback sneak on third down in their own territory gloat over me today.
You did the same thing. Yours was more embarrassing than mine.
This is true. It was very embarrassing. It's arguably the worst play to end the game that I've ever seen.
I mean, which is why
kind of what happened. Not for nothing.
Well, not only was it one of the most embarrassing play calls you've seen in the history of football, but then that coach came out and defended why, in fact, that was the call to make.
He's an idiot.
100%. Oh, I love it. What a day. Please call us. Please.
Why are we blaming? Let me ask you a question, though, quickly. I mean, in Orlovsky, he's firing everybody. Mike McCarthy needs to be fired. Maybe he does get fired. But last time I checked, Kellen Moore was the one that called that play, no?
Yeah, that's on Kellen Moore.
So why are we blaming Mike McCarthy? I mean, there's plenty of blame for Mike McCarthy, but why are we not blaming Kellen Moore for that
call? Well, you don't think he signed off on it?
I mean, no, he's not calling those plays.
But you don't think he hears that in his headset? Like, wait, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah, but in his mind, Dak is supposed to slide after he picks up 10 yards. They get to the line. He hands the ball to... So they can take a shot into the end zone.
They were at the 40.
Yeah, No. That was ridiculous. There was no justification. The minute he started moving forward, I screamed, "What are you doing?"
Oh, it's so good. we got a break because RJ, who's going to say nothing all day, is going to start yelling at me, and I don't want to put that man.
You saw the pep in his step. Hey, you saw the pep in his step. I'd never seen anyone run out of the studio faster in my life.
We were having an issue with your connection. We're like, RJ, something's wrong. He's like, I got it. He gets up. He's like Deion Sanders. He's running a 4.240 out of the room. I mean, it was unbelievable. Oh, is this going to be a show?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
Hey, Raymond, how come you weren't on the Zoom this morning?
I had a fit of Rothenberg rage at the end of that game. Phone got spiked.
Haven't you been the one that... Oh, Dak Prescott. Didn't you say he was better than Eli Manning?
When did I say that? I think you're making things up.
You sat here tiptoeing around. Oh, we're so good. Look at my team. 11 wins. All we do is win. I'm not afraid of the Packers. Look at me roar. And you're frauds.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
You understand, I could keep that from playing the rest of the show if I want to.
Now you're going to swing it?
On 98.7 ESPN. Like we've
been losing control. What a morning. Welcome. DiPietro Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. By the way, today we celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and we don't lose sight of fact of what he sacrificed and what he did and how his thoughts and memory still rings true today. And I just wanted to bring that up and make mention of it quickly. I know we're a sports show, but that certainly deserves mention here on Monday, January the 17th.
It absolutely is. And it's important. I'm glad that you brought it up. But
of course I wanted to.
What we do on the show is, outside of mocking poor Raymond Santiago for a full hour. Tell me if you feel the same way, though, Dave. You know, watching, getting a chance to actually sit down and watch. Because, I mean, Sundays get crazy, right? Like, I mean, we try to watch all these games on a Sunday. So you have, you know, super wild card weekend. You get to sit down and just really focus on, you know, each game. It's amazing watching some of these teams play and really focusing on these teams play. And then watching the Jets and Giants play.
It's almost like watching a different sport. I've said this numerous times this year. You watch even the Steelers, like, they're professional. The Chiefs are sensational. The Bills and San Francisco, Green Bay, all these teams. And then you watch the Jets and the Giants. You're like, wait, this is the same sport? Like, the Giants have set the sport back for years, and the Jets have been a laughingstock for a long time now. It's a very valid point. I think you could argue that you could mesh the Jets and Giants franchise, put one team out there for the two of them, and still not compete to do anything in the playoffs.
No. You may not even make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think you would.
But, I mean, here, you said something in the first hour that I thought was interesting, was we got a chance to see Dallas. Now, Dallas is, it's not a talent issue. They have tons of talent. Like, it could be coaching, it's lack of accountability, discipline, whatever you want to call it. Like, that should not be a team that loses the first game of the play. They should not. They need to at least win a playoff game. But still, they didn't. They lost. They're out. You watch what Philly did against Tampa. Well, I'm sure we'll revisit, is Jalen Hurts the long-term answer at quarterback with how he looked? Now, he's playing injured, but still. And there's some question marks around Jalen Hurts. And you said your division isn't very good.
It's not.
But now, as a Jets fan, watching what I just watched the Buffalo Bills do and realize how far the Jets are away from being as good as the Buffalo Bills are right now. Because what the Buffalo Bills did to New England was...
That was the performance of the weekend.
It's not even debatable.
No, it's not debatable. By the way, this is now time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Yes, listen, Cincinnati, I thought, looked good and hung on for dear life. San Francisco played very well until they didn't. Kansas City exploded after Pittsburgh took that lead on the defensive touchdown, but nobody won the weekend more than Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. That was as good a performance as you'll see in any one game.
I'm telling you right now, the whole week. Now, it's different, obviously, in the NFL, because you have the whole week of preparation and everything else. But, I mean, this is the day before, and you know, we played every other day, but you'd have, you know, the day leading up. You go through in your head, like, I'm going to visualize what's going to happen, and okay, I'm going to make this, and this. And like, you have a certain way you would like to see the game go. There is no way in their wildest dreams that the Buffalo Bills could have envisioned that game unfolding as perfectly as it unfolded. Like, there's nothing you could have asked for more than what Buffalo did in that game.
First of all, everybody loved New England in that game. Right? I know, RJ, I know you liked Buffalo, but for the most part, it was, you're getting 5 points with Bill Belichick, and sure, they have an advantage at quarterback, but beyond that, they probably don't, and the weather plays into the hands. I mean, how many times did you hear, leading into this game, the weather plays into the hands of New England, and if it was good weather, I might take Buffalo, but in that weather, that frigidity, I'm going to take New England. It was non-competitive. I mean, Josh Allen is playing at a different level. I'll tell you what, right now, Buffalo, I think, is the best team in football.
It's a scary team.
That's the best team for me in football right now. I think they're going to win the whole thing.
Well, I mean, then they had, like, you know, Josh Allen's career in below freezing temperatures. He's not very good, and all these different reasons why New England would be competitive. I mean, Josh Allen threw more touchdowns than he threw incompletions in that game. But he is a problem. Now, he is seriously, and I think we've said this a couple different times. When you watch him play, when he plays like that, he's a better version, because he throws the ball better. Like, he's the new Cam Newton is what he is, but he throws the ball better than Cam Newton.
He's better than Cam Newton.
Well, he throws the ball better than Cam Newton.
Huge.
Running-wise, I don't know. I mean, Cam Newton, I think, was more dynamic running the ball. But, I mean, the entire package. And it aggravates me too, because when me and Han were doing the show together, we had one of his teammates from Wyoming that would call in and tell us, oh, this guy's a great leader. If the Jets don't draft him, they're idiots. If the Jets don't draft him, they're idiots. And now look what this kid has turned himself into.
He's sensational. He really, and I mean, he runs the ball. His arm is dynamic. Dawson Knox, they got Sanders. Their running game is starting to come along a little bit. That's a very, very scary team. It's a good football team.
Well, that's the biggest thing for them. End of the season, they started actually like, okay, we need to find a way to run the football. And, you know, they started to run the football. And Singletary, I mean, he had two touchdowns against the Patriots. But, I mean, that makes this team, I mean, with Allen's ability to run the football, the way he throws it, I mean, you mentioned Knox. That ball, he was throwing that ball away, and all of a sudden Knox rises up out of nowhere and catches the touchdown.
So I'm listening to the game on radio. I had to get Ben from baseball workouts. I'm listening to the game on radio. They're like, and he just throws it away, and that's it. And then he's like, no, touchdown!
Dude, he rose up. He was throwing the ball away. Like, he created a bunch of time, and then I think it was like 9 seconds, and he throws it, and it looks like he's throwing it away, which I think he was actually trying to throw it away, and then Knox just out of nowhere rises up and catches it.
Phenomenal.
And then that Micah Hyde interception was probably, that's what.
Oh, really, my, where did he come out from?
Dude, it was, that, what a phenomenal interception that was.
That was just great. Do you know, I mean, I know you know it, they scored a touchdown on every possession until they took a knee?
Oh, yeah. Dave, there was the equivalent of pitching a perfect game is what they did.
They really did. They won the weekend, right?
Oh, yeah. Because I think a lot of people feel, like, you'll hear a lot of people say what you just said, was that the takeaway from this weekend is that Buffalo looks like the team that could end up in the Super Bowl from the AFC. That's what everyone will be saying today.
I don't know how you couldn't. They're what? They're getting 2.5 against Kansas City? So you're saying on a neutral field, that's a pick'em game, maybe even a little bit pro-Buffalo?
Yeah.
They hammered them. Remember, they played early in the season. They hammered Kansas City. They're built to beat Kansas City. They're running the ball right now well. They're playing their best football. They just destroyed New England twice.
Well, think what they did to New England. I mean, outside of that game where, I mean, Mac Jones threw the ball 3 times and it was, you know, the wind and cold and everything else. I mean, the last 2 times the Bills have played the Patriots, I mean, double-digit wins. They whacked them. I mean, in Week 16, they beat him 33-21.
They crushed him, and it wasn't even that close.
When Josh Allen, I mean, when he throws the ball away, he throws the ball, and he's in his ability to run. I mean, that's tough to stop.
And their defense is good, and they're well coached. And now they're running the ball? Look out.
Well, here's the thing. Let me ask you this, though. So my other takeaway from watching that game was, now we'll see who ends up being hired as the Giants' new GM, but skill set-wise, now, I'm not saying talent-wise. I'm just saying skill set, what the quarterback can do. When you see what Brian Daboll has done with Josh Allen, if you are, because it feels like you're going to bring back Daniel Jones.
Not so sure about that, but possibly.
Well, okay,
so. But
I mean, you saw what Brian Daboll. There were questions about his accuracy and everything else, and everyone's like, oh, no, yeah, this guy's not going to work because if you can't throw the ball accurate in college, you're not going to figure it out at the next level. And listen, give the kid credit. Somehow he's figured it out.
It's working now, yep.
Okay, so, I mean, Brian Daboll's an option as your head coach. I mean, watching Josh Allen and what he just did.
Well, you can go all in on Buffalo. You can go Sheen and Daboll and away you go.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if there is a hope that we can try to, I mean, I'm sure he's a 6th overall pick. You'd like to think that best case scenario would be that Daniel Jones, somehow we can figure it out with him.
Maybe you can. But I think you have to allow the new brass to make that decision, right? If you bring in, like you're saying right now, you bring in Sheen, you bring in Daboll, and you say, guys, get to work. And they say, you know what, we can make this work with Daniel Jones, or in fact, we can't. I think you have to completely leave it up to them. Let them make that decision.
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. Like, whoever you hire, they're in charge. Like, they make those decisions. All I'm saying, though, is that we're not in love with what's in the draft. It's going to cost you however much. It sounds like Russell Wilson's actually going to be back with Seattle. Who knows? But still, I mean, there's also the report that Deshaun Watson would like to be a Giant with Brian Flores as the head coach, which I don't think.
I don't see the Giants bringing in Deshaun Watson.
But even if they did, that's, again, you're trading how much? I mean, it was 3 firsts and 2 seconds that Miami was going to give them.
The Giants can't do that.
Okay, so.
You can't do that.
All right, so it feels like the best option right now financially, even if you bring someone in to compete for the job, is that Daniel Jones will be back next season. And I'm not saying that you're going to have to keep him past next season. Like, that's not going to be something that has to happen. But if there's anyone that can maybe unlock what Daniel Jones is or get him back to what he was, get him closer to what he was his rookie season, after watching what Brian Daboll's done with Josh 100%. Allen.
100%. Listen, if you tell me that you go 5-7 offensive line and then you have some of your skill position players healthy next year, do I think you would get a much better – and the coaching staff and they build around him is better? Do I think you can get a much better version of Daniel Jones? Not even a question. 100% absolutely.
Because I would think, I would think with how much you have invested in Daniel Jones, that would be the best outcome.
And let's be fair. There were times this year when we watched him, when we said to ourselves, he's getting better.
Yeah, we just didn't know whether or not the person that was making the decisions, whether Jason Garrett or Freddie Kitchens, was good enough or capable of putting him in the right spots to have success. And you do not question that. After seeing what Josh Allen turned himself into, I don't question that with
And Brian Daboll's been there every single step of the way. Now, that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. DiPietro Rothenberg presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. See, now what's going to happen is you're going to be like, you have so many reads. This is RJ's fault. No, I'll tell you why. Because there's a Zach Brown band tease to read. What time do you think that tease was supposed to be read? 5:55.
That was probably 5:55. Yeah.
What time did I receive the reads?
6:07.
6:01. So ooh, how am I supposed to go back in time unless I got Doc Brown here that I can go back and do that read at 5:55, RJ?
Well, not with that kind of attitude, you can't do it.
No, so. I really can't. Even with the flux capacitor.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
JoJo and Nutley. Good morning, JoJo. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave and Rick. But most importantly, good morning, Santiago.
Hello. Here we go.
Dave, I told you on Saturday when I called up, I'm going to watch the game, looking for a good game, but I'm going to also keep in mind of the tweets of Mr. Santiago. Yep. And I'm telling you, I don't know if you want to do a Price is Right, but do you know how many tweets he did? Because we were going to do, me and the people I was with, we were going to say, oh, let's do a drink for every tweet. But I would have had
you alcohol. You couldn't. You'd be 6 feet under now if you did a drink for every tweet he had.
Yeah,
you couldn't time. Possibly do that. All right, so let me ask you this now. From what time to what time is the over under for tweets from Santiago?
Start of game, like when they
start of game until completion of kickoff. Until when?
To when the game ended. I'm saying right when they went over to the KC game.
All right, you have the number.
I have it in my head right now.
Okay, Rick, you want to go first? You want me to go?
No, you go first.
I'm going to say 31.
Wow. You go 31. I'm going to say, I'll go a little under that. I'm going to say there were 24 tweets.
All right. RJ?
And this is counting retweets.
Oh, he's screening the contest, so he can't play. Do retweets count?
Yeah.
Oh, that's more than that.
All right.
That's more than that.
Give us the answer now, JoJo.
56.
Oh my God.
I couldn't believe it.
I can't believe that somebody's actually taking the time to go down my timeline and count them. Like, seriously, you got nothing better to do?
Listen, Ray, JoJo, I'm sorry.
Take it as a compliment, Raymond.
I mean, that's creepy.
No, that's creepy. Don't you see what we've done for you? We have made you into a celebrity.
I don't watch a celebrity.
We have made you
I want my football team to win.
We have made you into someone that people deeply care about.
I don't think
so.
So much so that
you're now like a staple of the show. You go away, the show falls apart.
I don't think people in JoJo Nutley care about me.
They're monitoring your tweeting during the game. They obviously care. 56 tweets.
It's creepy and it's sad.
It's sad that you're tweeting 56 times during the game.
Well, listen, I'm watching the game. I'm generally watching it alone, so. Booey, booey.
What does that mean? You're generally watching it alone.
Listen,
you're watching it alone or you're not.
No, I'm talking about usually I'm watching games alone. So, because the people that I generally would watch football with, they're not around.
56 tweets.
I almost don't feel comfortable.
I think that feels low. Actually, 56.
But this would have gone higher. This is only from kickoff to the end of the game.
Right. That doesn't mean anything like 2:30, 9:30. That's
This is a postmortem.
Okay, but you would say that from kickoff to end of game is probably when it's the highest volume, right?
Well, obviously, it would 56.
Okay, so
that's heavy.
56. I mean, dear God,
it feels low. Honestly, I don't. That's probably not my average.
56. That's a lot of tweets. And I'm looking right now.
And you count, and he's counting retweets again. That's creepy.
How about the end of the game? Frauds. Always frauds.
Yep.
As embarrassing as a one touchdown loss can be.
Also
they
agree.
Deserve it. They deserve all of it.
He goes through all the stages.
All the stages of grief. The play calling had been among many, many dumb things this team has done today.
So, Santiago, let me ask you a question. What happens with your coach?
Who cares?
Well, no,
in all
no,
honesty,
seriously.
Who cares?
He's dead.
Because, in all seriousness. Okay, let's say that they do decide that he's the wrong coach for them and they fire him. What direction are you going? You going to promote Kellen Moore? You going to promote Dan Quinn? What difference would it make?
Well, but that would be the reason that you do it.
After yesterday, I'm not sure that I want Kellen Moore running the team. I think it would be Jason Garrett 2.0. And honestly, he seems like he has less authority than Jason Garrett did. So wow. I'm not behind that at all.
This is one of my favorite tweets. I'm just a dummy for allowing myself to think this team was any different than the mentally soft clowns of the last two decades.
See, maybe that's part of it, though. Maybe this team is, maybe they're too coddled.
I would agree with that.
But where do you think that stems from?
Where do you think that stems from?
I think it stems from the owner.
Okay, so why are you asking the question?
Well, because I think it's an important determination. If it stems from the owner, that's not changing.
Because look at the roster. You would agree that they put together a pretty good roster for all the flack that he gets as the GM, even though he's not the one making the moves, but that's all Will McClay. But they put together a pretty good roster year in, year out, you would say, right?
I think they're very talented.
I mean, the coaching staff has guys that you would think know what they're doing. Guys who've been to Super Bowls.
Although I'll say this. Mike McCarthy looks so unimpressive and so overwhelmed and makes such dumb decisions. No?
Well, oh, yeah. Sure.
Listen.
No,
his clock
he's
management
right.
is terrible. Well, how many decisions is Mike McCarthy making in all
It's
honesty?
His team.
No, I get it's his team. But, how many decisions
The clock management, which was not really an issue, but the clock management was an issue all season. Not counting yesterday, of course. But and again, like the lack of accountability for the penalties. Like, he's still going to the podium and blaming officiating is why they lost. Yeah, the officiating was terrible, but that's not why they lost.
He had 14 penalties.
But yeah, I mean, but they led the league in penalties, as you've repeatedly pointed out. I think 14 penalties was a playoff record. Was that right?
I mean, defensive holdings on run plays.
I'm not so mad at the Gregory one because I almost feel like Gregory legitimately thought he was tackling the ball carrier for some reason. I honestly think that. So I'm not like really killing him for that one. But again, what can you do? But like if the team is going to be undisciplined, I mean that's a reflection on head coaching, is it not?
By the way, I'm looking through your timeline. I mean, you're blaming the officials all game long.
The officiating was terrible from the start.
All game
from
long.
From the start. Do you not agree? Do you not agree? Like the game starts with a neutral zone infraction when the left tackle clearly is shifting his ankle, and it happened three times.
You don't think
that's bad officiating?
Here we go. Jump on board. It's
Answer
the Santiago
question.
Excuse
Answer
train leaving the station.
Answer the question. Do you not think that's bad officiating?
I think officiating is continuously bad. I think you guys are maybe the most undisciplined team I've seen.
I think both things can be true.
Were they not calling penalties on the Niners?
They were calling penalties, but way fewer. And again, when the left tackle is clearly false starting the entire game, and the guy who's reacting to the move gets called for offsides, that's a little infuriating.
Here we go. Never a holding call. Shake my head. I mean, it's complaining is all
could you
it
imagine,
is.
Could you imagine what the sports talk radio is in Dallas today?
It must be great.
or how bad. What if the Niners had blown that game with what happened late?
They tried their best, by the way.
No, they tried their best. I mean, thank God that pass to Kittle was it hit the ground first, because I was ready to pull a Santiago and start breaking stuff. I was so mad.
I love that he broke his phone. You broke your phone, Raymond.
And you're taking glee in it. That's the thing.
Well, you did it to yourself. Let's take one more quick one, then we'll go around the league.
Iron Staten Island. Would you please?
You know why? Because you always pretend you're better than me, but you're just like me.
Again, this is not... No. I am better than you, because this is not normal behavior for me. Again, that's 3 hours of frustration plus, again, a lot of things have gone on over the past 6 months for me. So I think it all just kind of came to an end, to a head at the end of that game. But do not compare me to you. I do not make normal habits about breaking things.
Yep, I've never broken a phone. Good morning, Ira. You're on 98.7.
Good morning. It sounds like a lot of friction going on over there.
We're going to start a fire the way there's friction going on here.
I see that. It's going to be rough to get to 8 o'clock. But I do think McCarthy has a real good chance of getting let go today. But, you know, I'm disappointed in the playoff games. I mean, and that shows you what happens when you add additional games and you add an additional team. But you know what?
Ira, hold on one second. It's not so much that you added an additional team. It's how it played itself out. I mean, had that game tied, I mean, you're talking about having, you know.
You'd have the Chargers and
the
Herbert.
The Chargers in the playoffs as opposed to the Steelers.
Well, that's true. Okay, I'll take that back. But looking at it, you know, the San Francisco-Dallas game, you know, listen, Cowboys, you know, clearly they put themselves in the hole. I never saw anybody, you know, so many penalties, ridiculous. But what the Bills did to the Pats, let me tell you something, I got to give them a lot of credit. And you look at Josh Allen, I mean, the performance he put on was just one of the best performances I've seen from a quarterback in a long time. And you know what? I'm not comparing him to Marino. But you can make the same case that the Jets passed on Marino and a lot of other teams did. Okay, look how many teams passed on Josh Allen. And this guy may turn out to be the best quarterback for the next 10 years. The guy was just amazing. And what he did to Belichick's defense, as much as I was rooting for the Pats, at the end of the day, just for Belichick alone, he deserved what he got.
Wow. See, Ira, here's the thing, though. And I mean, we're saying this on our show that the guy we would draft was Josh Allen. I don't know if Josh Allen becomes the player he is now if the Jets drafted him. I don't.
Probably not. I think you're 100% right. But still, going in, you know, that draft class coming out, Josh Allen definitely had the best raw skills out of all those quarterbacks. He got lucky enough to get drafted by the right team to develop him.
It was a perfect storm.
To what he became.
You're right. And thanks for the call, yep. Ira. It was the exact perfect storm. Right? He's a huge kid. He's got a cannon for an arm. I mean, he is a perfect fit to play in Buffalo, and they love him. And he is doing everything within his power to try to lead them to a Super Bowl. And you know what? I think he just might this year. All right, let's do it. Santi, we'll take the pressure off of you, and we'll go around the league.
It's time to go around the league.
And around the league brought to you by Jack Pocket. Rick, Jack Pocket.
Not right, Jack Pocket.
Enunciated very, Jack very Pocket. Clearly.
I still don't understand the name. I don't.
What's the name? Jack Pocket.
Yeah, I don't get it. It doesn't make any, like, just because, what, your phone's in your pocket?
I don't. I didn't
keep
name
my phone
it,
in
that's
my
what
pocket?
It is. Last week you said I pronounced it incorrectly. This week I'm enunciating much more clearly Jack Pocket. All right. Let's go through these games chronologically. 4:30 on Saturday. Bengals look great. Jamar Chase, phenomenal. Joe Burrow, the whole thing. And it took every ounce to hang on and beat the Raiders in what turned out to be a very closely contested battle.
Yeah. But, that's who Vegas has been. You know? I mean, they were playing playoff games to get themselves into the playoffs.
They fight.
They fight their butts off. But I'll tell you what. It even listening to Joe Burrow after the game, I don't know, man. There's something about this kid. Of all the young quarterbacks, just, I don't know, his personality,
awesome.
I love the kid. I
told you that last year when they were winning just a couple of games. I said, he is the future, and he is the future. Zach Taylor, head coach of the Bengals after the game. What does that playoff win mean for this franchise?
I think this city can finally exhale and just enjoy this team for what it is and take that pressure off those last 31 years. And at the same time, there's just such an incredible history here at Cincinnati. There's Super Bowl appearances, there's conference championships, and really these last even two decades, there's been so many tremendous players, teams, and coaches that have come through here that I hope that they feel like they're a part of this win today and they can enjoy this because they've really allowed the foundation for us to do this. And, you know, I think that's today was significant for a lot of people.
You know what you notice in a lot of these games? You know what you notice in a lot of these games, though, Dave? Is, and Belichick says it all the time, most games are lost, not won. And then you are, like, some of the mistakes that Vegas was making. I mean, they had three false starts in the first quarter. You had Peyton Barber, for some reason, decided that he was going to grab the kickoff before he went out of bounds.
That was unbelievable, wasn't it?
It's just a stupid, it's just such a stupid,
I mean, let me grab the ball and then stomp my foot on the sideline.
Well, yeah, I mean, the rules, you have to be, if you're out of bounds.
Yeah, but how could you not understand that?
In that moment, too. So you go from a kickoff out of bounds to now you have the ball.
At the 40, and now you're at the 3. Yeah,
just
horrendous. But did you see what Zach Taylor did? He went around to bars in Cincinnati and gave out game balls to the fans.
That's awesome.
How cool is that?
That's unbelievable. But, I mean, Joe Burrow has changed. Like, a personality like Joe Burrow is exactly what that franchise
needed. If you were
a
free agent in the NFL and Cincinnati came calling, you would now consider going there.
Well, yeah, on the offensive side of the ball, absolutely.
I mean, their defense played well,
studs.
Too.
Yeah, well, yeah. Their defense played well. But, I mean, as far as if I'm an offensive player with the amount of talent on that side of the ball, with that quarterback.
Oh, I mean, you got Mixon, you got Boyd, you got Higgins, you got, I mean, Jamar Chase is at a different
stud
level completely. And Burrow makes the whole thing go. So, phenomenal win. We talked about Buffalo, but that was as good a performance as you can see. I mean, from start to finish, Josh Allen and the running game, the fan base, everything. That really was football perfection on Saturday night against a team I'm sure they loved pounding in New England.
See, it looked like Buffalo had something on their mind. Like, it looked like that meant extra. That game had extra meaning to Buffalo. I didn't think the Patriots, I mean, their defense looked slow. I don't know if it was the cold weather or whatever. But, I mean, for Josh Allen to go against them, I don't care who Bill Belichick has on the defensive side of the ball. For Josh Allen to have to throw more touchdowns than he did incompletions against Bill Belichick is pretty impressive.
What did he throw, five touchdowns and?
Five touchdowns at four incompletions.
That really is just absolutely unbelievable. So, then we go yesterday, 1 o'clock, and I thought Jalen Hurts looked completely overwhelmed in this game. And it looked to me like they could play 10 times and Tampa might win every single one of those times. That was really a non-competitive football game.
Well, I mean, Tampa's defense is starting to get healthy. I think the only reason that people thought that would be a close game was because of the weather, right? That was the only reason why you gave the Eagles any chance.
And the weather was fine.
Well, yeah, exactly right. That was because the weather turned out being fine.
All I hear about the weather. Apparently, the spread went from 8.5 down to 7. I turned the game on. It's like sunny and 77
yes.
in Tampa.
Yeah, I had my wife check in the morning, and the rain was going to stop early in the morning. They had the tarp on, so the field was fine. It was sunny. Brady's an assassin, and I mean they stopped the run. That's what you've expected to see from Tampa's defense all season long. But with the injuries and everything else, they haven't been able to do it. So that's going to be a good. This upcoming weekend is going to be some.
This is the best weekend of the season, right? This weekend, I guess, that just passed and is passing is great because you get six games and it's littered with games. You get two Saturday, three, and then one. This coming weekend, to me, is the best weekend of football this season.
Well, and the Bucs are going to get Fournette back, too. I mean,
going to get Fournette back. They're going to take on Arizona or the Rams, which should be a very good game. I mean, the Niners and Packers, you could argue, are the two best teams in the NFC. I mean, AFC, you got two great matchups. They're all intriguing. But this is going to be a great weekend of football. 4:30 yesterday, Cowboys, they lose. We've discussed it. We didn't discuss this, though. And this, to me, for a guy that, and he's a very likable guy, is a very bad look. Here is Dak after the game, asked about trash being thrown on the field.
That's sad. I mean, you're talking about a team. You're talking about men that come out each and every day of their lives and give everything to this sport, give everything to this game of football. Nobody wants to succeed more than we want to succeed. I understand fans and the word fan, for Fnatic. I get that. But to know everything that we put into this day in and day out, try our hardest. Nobody comes in the game wanting or expecting to lose. And for people to react that way when you're supposed to be a supporter and be with us through thick and thin, that's tough.
I think they were gaming at the referees.
Yeah. They were at the referees.
Credit to them then.
Rick.
Yeah, that's not great.
That is a terrible thing. So he goes on this whole diatribe of these guys' work and the effort and everything, and what the last thing you can possibly do, you throw garbage at them, and then he finds out it's the referees. Okay, great. Throw trash at the referees. That is a bad soundbite for Dak Prescott.
No, for him. Yeah, I mean, it's a guy who's done. I mean, has done nothing wrong. That's part of why I like Dak, is for how he handles himself, the kind of leader he is. So yeah, that's frustration.
Listen, heat of the moment. I'll even cut him some slack, but you can't do that. You know what Santiago said immediately upon
himself.
Hearing that?
He agrees.
No, he said he blamed the officials. He can't believe the officials would put Dak in that kind of position.
But he's frustrated in himself. Like, Dak knows.
Hey, thank you.
Dak knows in that moment. He's got to get down, and they got to get at least one more playoff. Get the ball spiked, and then get a playoff.
He lost it. He lost it for them. And then lastly, last night, I mean, just, my God, a barrage of offensive explosion. What did Patrick Mahomes have, 5 touchdown passes, and Travis Kelce had 1?
Yeah.
That's a lot of touchdowns.
It's a lot of touchdowns. That was not the start I wanted, but they figured it out.
We won. We're 9-1 in our last 10. What
the hell we're doing?
This looks like that's it for Ben Roethlisberger, right?
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, that's again, and they were trying to play the whole, you know, no one gives us a chance, and we all realize that, you know, the most dangerous teams, the most dangerous people are, you know, people that have nothing to lose. So they were trying to play that whole deal. But the only way they were going to have any chance in that game was that if their defensive, TJ Watt, if those guys dominated.
And it looked like you might have that. For 20 minutes, you're like, oh my God, this is going to be. And then it was like, no, that's it. This is over.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now I'm being told we, in fact, do have Rex Ryan.
Absolutely, guys. I wouldn't miss our show.
We love you. I was just told you're not joining us. I told the audience, I'm sure people were just driving off the road in these icy conditions, and now we have you.
They had to be devastated.
Devastated.
I mean, the poor audience had to be absolutely devastated.
But now what a treat. Well, good morning, Rex. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're great. Really, today is my favorite day of 2022 so far. Why, you ask? Because I watched the Cowboys just soil themselves yesterday. It was one of the great treats that we get to see. It was so entertaining.
Oh, gosh. Isn't that something? But you know what? That game ended in typical fashion right here for Dallas, right? Look, they've had issues with clock management the whole season. And for it to come down to that in this, you know, particular play, the way it ends, where Dak doesn't give the ball to the official, like it's like you can't make this stuff up. Like, oh my gosh, it's going to happen, and it did.
Now, Rex, let me ask you: is it the play call, or was it the execution of the play call, or both?
Well, it's both. First off, you know, to make that play, normally the line of demarcation, so to speak, is 16 seconds. Normally you wait, you can make a play inside, give yourself up in 16 seconds. That's the way, you know, I've been trained and all that through years and years, you know, 30 years of coaching. But you really press the issue when it's under that. And so it's at 14, okay, I get it. Then you better be on top of your stuff, so to speak. And when he went, number one, Dak goes too far, but when he gets up, you have to give the ball to the official. And this is common sense. All right. The official spots the ball on every single play. All right. And even in a 2-minute situation, we've seen receivers screw up and they get up and leave the ball on the ground. No, you hand the ball to the official. You don't toss it to the official because he may drop it. You go and you physically hand the ball to the official. And that's what Dak should have done. And don't blame the officials. The officials are just doing their job.
Rex Ryan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Rex, I said this to Rick earlier, and I don't know that he agreed, but I want to get your take on it. I don't know that he vehemently disagreed either. And that to me is, it felt like the game yesterday, and just kind of think it through before you give an answer. It kind of felt to me like that game was too big for Dallas, right? They came out and they looked awful. They didn't look overly prepared. They're jumping off sides every single moment. I thought the coach was terrible. I thought the quarterback was not very good. I think that game, maybe the pressure was too much for the Cowboys yesterday.
Well, I'll say this. I don't need to think about it because I get where you're coming from. But it almost was played out exactly how the regular season was played out. You know, and as if penalties are a barometer, let's take a look at this. All right. The Dallas Cowboys, in the 2 years that McCarthy's been the head coach, have led the NFL in penalties. All right. This year, no exception, they led the league in penalties again. So I'm not surprised they had 14 penalties in this game. I'm not. That's how they played the entire season. So, you know, was it too big for them? I don't know. You know, it looked like both teams at the end of the game it was too big for. You know, with the mistake Garoppolo made and then the two mistakes he made, the interception and then the not having Trent Williams set for a count. But, I mean, that's what happens in playoffs, man. Like, sometimes it is too big for some teams and some players, and sometimes it's not. But I think when I go back and look at it, the entire season, Dallas played the same way. Most penalized team in the league.
Now, Rex, let me ask you a question. With what's going on, so you have, you know, Kellen Moore's getting interviewed, you got Quinn's getting interviewed, and then now there's Mike McCarthy, another disappointing season. You mentioned, again, another year where they lead the league in penalties. Do you think that Dallas ends up making a move here with the coach?
Oh, gosh. I think it's certainly a possibility. And I've said that literally at the beginning of the year. It's a possibility for two reasons. Number one, you're disappointed in how your team finished. Okay, you're out of the playoffs week one again. And the other thing would be that you don't want to lose one of your assistants that you feel good about, like Kellen Moore. Okay, he's homegrown, and you don't want to lose that. So there's two reasons why it's certainly a possibility. Look, I'm going to say this. You can fire a coach for anything, all right? We saw people talk about the Flores deal because, you know, he won, you know, nine games this year, actually eight of their last nine, which is kind of crazy. But I saw my dad get fired after going to three straight playoffs in Philadelphia, and he got fired. And that was back when the Giants had Parcells, the Washington Redskins at the time had Joe Gibbs, and the Dallas Cowboys had Jimmy Johnson. And he goes to the playoffs, and he gets fired. So anything can happen here, and I would not be surprised one way or the other.
Rex Ryan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Rex, I don't even think it's up for debate. Buffalo won the weekend. I mean, that performance was just, you know, something we've really never seen before. In your mind, is it crazy to say that they're the favorites to win the Super Bowl right now?
No, absolutely. After watching that game, I think anybody that watched that game realizes, look, this team can dominate you on offense. Seven straight possessions against, by the way, a Bill Belichick, you know, defense, that was the number two ranked defense in the National Football League, and they went seven straight possessions of going down the field and not just scoring, but scoring touchdowns. So that's absolutely scary. You got a lethal quarterback in Josh Allen. And, oh, by the way, the number one defense in the National Football League in almost every category except run defense. And that's the only question I had about that, about their defense. And what did they do? They went and shut down that run game of New England. So to me, yeah, absolutely not surprised that, I mean, this looks like the team that not just represent the AFC, but could win it all.
Rex, how do you explain what Josh Allen's done? I mean, I heard it. Listen,
easy for me.
Well, I know you liked him, but I mean,
no,
we were taking...
I love the guy when he came out. I wanted the Jets to take him. I said he's the best quarterback in the draft by far. And why? Because I know what plays in the NFL. This is a size-speed league. Nobody bigger, stronger, and more athletic than this guy. And, by the way, he's got a bazooka for an arm. Weather is no concern, okay? And that's why I'm not shocked. And this guy's ceiling was so high, and guess what? He's reaching that ceiling. You know, where other quarterbacks come in this league and they might have a higher floor. In other words, they come in the league more prepared to play. you know, in the game, their system that they played in or whatever. That's okay. That doesn't mean anything in the NFL. That you need to have a certain skill set to play and to be a dominant quarterback in this league, a franchise quarterback. That's what this guy has. And I might suggest that I warned the New England Patriot fans that let's see what happens in December and January before you start comparing this guy to Tom Brady. And guess what? Right again. It's different, man. The ball, it's harder to throw in cold weather. And when you don't have that kind of arm talent, it shows up in December and January. And you look at the Patriots, they lost four of their last five. So the defense rest, again, I've seen a few huddles broke in my day. But this quarterback right here is a no-brainer. And it's funny how now people are like, oh, yeah, I saw it coming. The hell you did. Very few people did. All the scouts wanted Baker Mayfield, who's short and slow. All right. And then the other ones wanted Sam Darnold, a long deliver guy. It's funny how it works, but sometimes you're better off relying on a coach than a scout. And because it just, for some reason, you know, you've been around the game long enough, you can find a quarterback better than some other guys that are reading numbers or whatever they're looking at.
Rex, who do you like tonight? Game on ESPN, 8:15, Cardinals-Rams, the third time they split in the regular season. Where do you fall on this one?
Well, I think the Rams will win this game, and the reason for it is I hate to take a team that just got absolutely smashed by the Seattle Seahawks, a team that won, what, six games this year? So that's what Arizona comes into this game at. Stafford has to prove that he can win a playoff game. That's my only question about this guy, where you know everybody gives him a pass because he was the Lions quarterback, and they blame it on the Lions and that organization that Stafford never won a playoff game. There are people in Detroit are wondering, you know what, were you part of the problem? And so that's what he has to overcome. He's got to show that, no, it's, you know, I'm the guy everybody thinks I am, and he'll be at his best in these games. The one thing I know for sure, Stafford loves to play against man cover teams. And that's exactly what he's going to face. This team is, you know, plays more man than anybody else in the league, the Arizona Cardinals. So it plays into his favor. And that's the only reason I'm going to take him. I would not be shocked if Arizona wins. But if they're going to win, then Kyler Murray's going to have to run the ball like he's a darn running back in this game. Because I know the Rams struggle against quarterbacks that run. He's got to put the team on his back.
All right, Rex, listen, great stuff as always. We love your podcast, Organized Chaos, with Bart Scott. And God knows where that conversation will go because we heard what Bart was saying about you know, special supplements last week. But good stuff as always. And I'm glad you joined us today. We were concerned you weren't going to be joining us today. And I know we'll talk to you next Monday as well.
Awesome, guys. See you then.
All right, great stuff. Rex Ryan, so good. That was a treat because I'm told he's not going to be with us. And then all of a sudden, no, Rex is there. He's with us.
It was better that way because I was down. And then
I was dejected and then I felt optimistic. Yeah, I could exactly not agree with you more.
You got me down and then you poof, picked me right back up.
Yeah. But RJ, what exactly happened there?
There was miscommunication. RJ's on the phone. So Rex was not – usually when Rex sits down in the room there at the Seaport, we hear him, and we just never heard him. And by a stroke of fate, I just left his mic up and in queue just in case, like, if something happens. And so when you said, Dave, Rex is not joining us, I just hear in Rex Ryan fashion, hey, I'm right here. Like, oh, Rex, you're there.
Oh, how about that?
Let Dave know that you're there.
Yep, and he's always good to talk to. Always good to talk to. So you know what's funny? In the past, you've kind of, and I know this is kind of pathetic to say, you have like this letdown today, where it's like, oh, all the football's done, and you'll watch some basketball, but there's no more football. But you get the Knicks at 1 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN, and then tonight you get the Rams. And you get the Cardinals, and it's just another night of football. This is so well done by the NFL.
Yeah, this is well done. This was laid out perfectly. Next step is let's get the Super Bowl to President's Day weekend where it belongs.
You know that's not far off in the future.
No, that's what we need. It's what everyone needs. Now, we just have to get ourselves off on President's Day, which is going to be a tough sell, I think.
I don't know where you're going with that.
Well, no. We're sitting there. We're advocating for it.
Right.
Yeah, because it would be great because we would have everyone gets that Monday off. But we would. They're not going to give us the day after the Super Bowl off.
We can't take the day after the Super Bowl.
No, I know.
You know, I was telling Sherry last night. She's like, we were talking about like summer vacation, that kind of stuff. I said, you know, the next time I think I might actually have a vacation day off
July.
Is June.
Oh, it's June. Yeah, I was thinking more July.
No, I think June, late June.
Yeah, late June or July. I mean, that's it.
I mean, we are tied at the hip.
Yeah, when you're off, I'm off. I don't want days off. I was looking forward to doing the show this morning.
I've never wanted to do a show more than today.
I miss the show. I honestly miss the show when we don't do it.
This has been a great show today. And you know what? I got to give credit. Santiago's been a good sport because he must be so upset. I know if this was my team and I thought they were going to go on a run in the postseason and they lost and got humiliated for the nation to see at home, I think there's a good chance I would have either not come in today or just been a horrendous host today.
At the end of the day, you have a job to do. And I give you grief, but I don't believe you for one second when you said that you would have taken 3 days off. I don't buy that.
If the Cowboys won the Super Bowl, I would have been miserable.
Yeah, but you would have come to work.
I don't know. I'm very immature. Like, I don't think you realize how much of a baby I am.
This has long been established. Yes, we know. We know.
If that was the Giants that lost, no, there's no way he's at work today.
Yeah, I think I don't. You give me too much credit. If the Giants would have lost that game yesterday, I'm not.
Okay, no. See, then he's in the wrong industry because I don't believe that for a second. He would have come to work. He would have been completely miserable, but he would have come to work.
He left his house during it was a regular season loss, and he left his home for 2 days.
He'd do the show from the hotel room.
Maybe I would. I bring the Comrex to the Hilton, and we do the show from there.
Good times
from the lobby.
If I ever turn on the Zoom. You are in the lobby of a Hilton doing the show.
Then what?
From the bar at the Hilton. What are you talking about?
Like indulging in the continental breakfast, just having some.
I have croissants all over the place.
Love
Toasted
bacon.
Bagels, croissants,
little tiny
cheese,
muffins.
Little baby muffins, absolutely.
Multiple cream cheeses.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.